Before we turn to our text this morning, I'm going to have Gary and Diana and McKenna and Scotty come up here. I don't see Julie here, but about a month ago we had a baptism service, and to commemorate that, we have a little bit of something for those who were baptized. And so if Gary and Diana and McKenna and Scotty would come forward, that would be great. Nothing like putting you guys on the spot, huh? Scotty, there's a certificate for all of you to commemorate that. And that's Diana's. And then for you guys, just a keychain and just a little bit of something to commemorate that awesome occasion that I had the privilege, and many others from our congregation had the privilege of being a part of, and I would like to pray over them. So if we could bow our heads and our hearts and offer up a prayer that as they continue their spiritual journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, that His Holy Spirit would empower them and just continue to sustain them. So let's go before our Lord. Gracious God, we thank You for being the Savior that You are, and we thank You for the joyous occasion that we had to experience the baptisms of Gary and Diana and McKenna and Scotty. And Jesus, I just pray for them right now. I pray that as they continue their spiritual journey with You, that You would just continue to abide with them and continue to bless them with Your holy presence, that You would just walk before them and grant them favor. Just grow them up in Your holy writ and Your holy word, and may You be blessed through their life. We thank You for them. Bless them, we pray, and we lift this up to You. In the holy name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. All right. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade, and we have a special ministry prepared especially for them, and you can meet Carla and Nikki and Joanna over at the door, and they'll take you to your classroom and, you know, get into your lesson. Ray, this month, is heading up Western Avenue, and so he is going to send the clipboards around. For those of you who do not know, this is part of the testimony of Trinity United Methodist Church. Western Avenue is a mission in Toledo, and once a month we prepare a meal here and we take it up to the mission and we serve it up there. This month, the clipboards that are going around, we not only have a need for the food to be brought in, this will take place a week from today, but we are in need of helpers, servers. So if God is placing on your heart to be a part of that ministry, I believe there's a box there that you can just write your name down and, you know, say that, hey, I would be a part of that. So as the clipboards go around, as God leads, as you feel the Lord prompting, please be a part of that vital ministry to those that are in need. But this morning, I want to recap a little bit. We've been, you know, dealing with our new mission statement here at Trinity United Methodist Church. The last couple weeks, we've been talking about loving Jesus, and that's our first component. And you might ask, where have we been? We started upon our journey of our new mission statement, which the first part is loving Jesus. And it's important that we grasp why that's essential and why it's vital that we begin to love Jesus with all that we are. We found that Jesus summed up all the law and the prophets with one word. This was 2 weeks ago. And that one word was love. The greatest commandment that Jesus gave when he was asked, what was the greatest commandment? He said to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so he summed up everything in the law and the prophets with one word, and that word is to love God. We also found that this love which God has given and lavished upon us in His Son, Jesus Christ, cannot be returned with a half-hearted response from us. We must return the love of Christ that has been given to you and to me with a comprehensiveness and loving God with all of our being. Last week, we found that we also must love our neighbor as ourselves, and this entails allowing God's love to flow through us so we can unselfishly love those that we come in contact with each day. There's a third component of loving Jesus, and it deals with loving one another within the body of Christ. And so you might look to your left and look to your right, and you might say, okay, who am I to love here? We are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is where we find our text this morning. If you would, if you brought your Bibles, I certainly hope you have, turn to the Gospel of John chapter 13. We will be looking at verses 33 through 38, but the setting is this. Jesus had just celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples, and he just finished washing their feet. Judas had just departed, and he was committed to betraying Jesus. And so before his betrayal, his arrest, his crucifixion, and the resurrection, and before he returned to be with God the Father, Jesus now turns to the remaining 11 disciples, and he begins to teach them some vital teachings that they would need once he departed from them. It's important that we understand the setting. It's important that we grasp that, because when you look at this and you think the very first thing that Jesus teaches after the betrayal, or before Judas betrays him and after Judas leaves, is about loving one another. This teaching truly is a challenge to the disciples to love one another, and it's a challenge to you and to me. And so if you have your Bibles open, follow along as I read out of the 13th chapter, verses 33 through 38. Little children, I say, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and I, as I said to the Jews, where I am going you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I have given to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. This morning, I want to address three different areas of this. The first is why Jesus called this commandment new. The second is the reason loving one another is essential for any church. And the third, what does loving one another look like? So let's look at the first point. Why Jesus called this commandment new? He said in verse 34, he said, a new commandment I give to you. And he states that this commandment is new in the sense of, it's not in a new in the sense of being different, but it's new in the sense of its freshness. Newness implies not being worn out, meaning Jesus was telling them that this new command was not worn out. You see, in the old law, in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, Jesus knew that what that verse said is that it said, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The reason Jesus called this a new command was because up until this time, people did not have an example of what godly love looked like. Hear that. Up until Jesus walked this earth, people did not have an example of what godly love looked like. And what was new was now people had the example of Jesus' love. And for 3 years, the disciples walked with Jesus, and they saw that the love of Jesus was constant, and it was self-sacrificing, that Jesus' love was without reservation and without limit, that the love of Jesus was selfless and complete. They saw as he interacted with the lepers and those that are ill and those that had passed away, and how he engaged the teachers of the law and all the people in this world. They saw that Jesus' love was pure, it was true. And moreover, Jesus' love was rooted in his love for God the Father, and it was centered upon you and me. Hear that. His love was centered and is centered upon you and me. But friends, let's not miss one vital component, that the love that Jesus showed was and is powered by the Holy Spirit. You see, it's important that we realize that you and I, too, have God-inspired love flowing in our souls and through us if we only allow the Holy Spirit to flood our hearts, flood our minds, and flood our beings, bringing God's love to us and through us to others. Up until Jesus' sacrificial death, people who lived did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and this is new. And left in our own strength, we are incapable of loving. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can love one another with God Himself, since God is love. You might be sitting there saying, but they had the Holy Spirit. Nuh-uh. Remember when Jesus said, I will send you the Comforter. I will send you the Counselor. I will send you the Helper, the Paraclete. And that, my friends, is the Holy Spirit. And we are told that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit for later redemption. And so it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can only love. It's only in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible apart from the indwelling, inworking of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul in Romans 5, verse 5 says this. He says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Now listen to by what? By the agent of the Holy Spirit who was given to you and to me. So we have a new command. We have a fresh command. Jesus says, a new command I give to you, that you love one another. And we have a responsibility to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, to pour God's love deep within our hearts, that it might be poured out into other people. And we must love one another because Jesus gave us His example. And He also gave us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that allows us to love one another with God and with Himself and with God's love. This leads us to our second point this morning. The reason loving one another is essential for any church. The early church father Tertullian stated this. He says, see how they love one another. Now listen who he was quoting. He was quoting the non-believers as they would talk about the individuals within the church. And this is what the non-believers would say about the church members. They would say, see how they love one another. I'm going to read verse 35 to you again. Jesus said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, friends, Jesus clearly places a responsibility to judge the church. And yes, I said the word judge. To judge the church upon those outside the church by saying they will be able to tell if we are His disciples based upon one factor and only one factor. And that is our love for one another. And that's a harsh word. That's a harsh statement. But that's exactly what Jesus is saying. I want to say that again. Jesus is clearly placing the responsibility to judge the church upon those outside by saying they will be able to tell if you and I are His disciples by one factor, and that's namely our love for one another. That's rough, but it's very true. And sometimes we get upset with the non-believers when they say things about Christians that appear to be slanderous. And yet, if it deals with a Christian's love for other Christians, then, friends, they have every right to say those things. And moreover, they should, because they should be a mirror to us as to what we are doing right and what we are doing wrong. I want us to pause right here, so I can let you all know that I want to take us deeper as a church. I don't want to be involved with this superficial junk. I don't want to be involved with this service that has no meaning or no merit. I want us to go deeper as a church. We need to be less superficial and more authentic. If we're going to reach the community of Gibsonburg and the surrounding areas, we got to start at home. We got to start right here. We have to start by loving one another, and we have to start here within our congregation by loving each other. And this love should be so attractive to those outside the church that they want to become a part of our community of faith. Hear that. They should see our love, our care, our concern for one another, that it becomes appealing to them. It's this love that the true evidence that we belong to Jesus Christ. And how do we provide evidence of that love to others? By doing what Jesus did. So you might be saying, how do I show my love to one another? We need to start by doing what Jesus did, and that's namely laying down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3, verse 16 says this, and I said 1 John, not John 3, 16. 1 John 3, 16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. An author that is unknown in a poem pens it this way, and he says, or she says, whoever it is, says, how can you lead to Christ your boy unless Christ's method you employ? There's just one thing that you can do. It's let that boy see Christ in you. Have you a husband fond and true, a wife who's blind to all but you? If each would win the other one, that life must speak of God's dear son. There is but one successful plan by which to win a fellow man. Have you a neighbor, old or new? Just let that man see Christ in you. The church that hopes to win the lost must pay the one unchanging cost. She must compel the world to see in her the Christ of Calvary. And so, friends, we must start exemplifying. I'm not saying we're doing a bad job of this, but what I'm saying is we can always have room for improvement. We can always strive to exhibit the love of Christ first at home, first within our congregation, first to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We experience freedoms here in this country. I wonder how many times each and every day, each and every week, we think about those around the world that are Christians that are being persecuted each and every day. Or do we just go blindly through our life and are oblivious to what they're experiencing? You see, the love of Christ would feel an angst for what they're suffering, what they're going through. The love of Christ grieves when those who are brothers and sisters are grieving with them. The love of Christ rejoices when those who are going through joyous times rejoices. The love of Christ experiences and walks through life with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So the third aspect, you might be sitting there saying, but what does loving one another look like? This type of love, it suffers long and it is kind. This love does not envy and it does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. This love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. It is not provoked and it thinks no evil. This type of love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. This type of love bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things. And this type of love endures all things. If you're wondering where I got that from, that's out of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. John MacArthur said this about that chapter. He said, if the church consistently loved like the description of love, like that, it would have a powerful impact upon the world. And practically, I want to give us three ways that practically we can love one another in three ways. The first is that we need to apologize and seek forgiveness from those we have wronged. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount that reconciliation with other people, especially with brothers and sisters in Christ, is a prerequisite to worshiping God. In Matthew 5, 23 to 24, Jesus said, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, meaning you are in the church, you are worshiping, and you are presenting your offering to God, and there you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your offering, leave the church before the altar, and you go, and you first be reconciled to your brother and sister or sister, and then you come back, and then you present your offering. You see, if we don't have a true, pure love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, friends, our heart is wrong, our motives are wrong, we're all messed up, and we truly can't worship God with a pure and unadulterated heart. Hear that. This is the very reason in my own personal quiet time that I pray, Lord, convict me harshly every day. I did it this morning, and many times I will be convicted of something and I'll go and apologize to somebody, a brother or sister in Christ, and they'll look at me and say, I don't even know what you're apologizing for. And when they say that, I will say, maybe not for you, but I'm apologizing for me because my heart isn't right now. And I don't want any unholy thing to grow up in my heart to encumber my worship of my Savior, Jesus Christ. The second way that practically we can love one another is to grant forgiveness. Ephesians 4, verse 32, the Apostle Paul says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." Many of us, we grew up and we recite the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, if you will. And there's a little phrase out of the 6th chapter, verse 12 of Matthew, that goes like this. And for those of you that know the Lord's Prayer, you'll know. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us." And so literally what we're praying here is we are praying, "God, hold back your forgiveness if I hold back forgiveness for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Hold back your forgiveness or forgive me to the measure that I am forgiving." And how many times do we rotely say the Lord's Prayer and say it and recite it, but we never really allow the words of God's prayer that he prescribed to you and to me to sink into our hearts and our souls. And I just wonder, maybe we need to be more forgiving and starting with our brothers, our sisters in Christ. You see, because God's love has transformed your heart, my heart, we are able to extend his love to others in forgiveness. And this too is another example of God's love flowing through the believer's heart out toward others. What a better witness to the surrounding world than to be totally forgiving to those who have wronged us, to seek to grasp the forgiveness from others when we wrong them. The third way that we can serve one another through love is by serving. Jesus, the picture, the Last Supper, he washed the disciples' feet. He humbled himself. He lowered himself, placed himself below the disciples, the Creator, placing himself at the feet of who he created. And that just boggles my mind. And Jesus serves. He gave us the example. And friends, we too need to serve one another through love. In conclusion, Francis Schaeffer writes this. He pens, "The church is to be a loving church in a dying culture. In the midst of the world, in the midst of our present dying culture, Jesus is giving a right to the world. Upon his authority, he gives the world the right to judge whether you and I are born-again Christians on the basis of our observable love toward all Christians." That's pretty frightening. And Francis Schaeffer continues on, and he says, "Jesus turns to the world and says, 'I've something to say to you. On the basis of my authority, I give you a right. You may judge whether or not an individual is a Christian on the basis of the love he or she shows to all Christians.' In other words, if people come up to us and cast into our teeth the judgment that we are not Christians because we have not shown love toward other Christians, we must understand that they are only exercising a prerogative which Jesus himself gave to them." So where are we going as a church? My hope and my desire is that we're going to go deeper. We are going to begin by loving Jesus, by loving God with all our heart and responding with the love that God has lavished upon us with a wholehearted, comprehensive, all individually being love for God, that we will cast the love that God has given to us upon our neighbor, and that ultimately that the reflection of our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ will be a magnetic drawing. It will be infectious. It will be a witness to the world. That's my hope. Where we're going as a congregation. And my challenge to all of us is, may we be a loving church in a dying culture. May we embrace Jesus' command and embracing the newness of Jesus' example in the power of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to love. May we freely and boldly allow the world to judge our love for one another. And may we accept the responsibility to change our love so it may reflect more of Jesus' heart. May we seek forgiveness from our brothers and sisters in Christ, and may we grant forgiveness to our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. May God receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise as we strive to live up to this first component of our mission, loving Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus, for his loving example. Father, we thank you for his teaching, his life, and how he did give us a new command. Not one that is worn out, but the freshness, the newness, the one that we are enabled to live up to by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is you, Lord, in each one of us. Father, I pray for all of us that you would give us the courage, the boldness to allow the world to just look upon us. And when they do, I pray that what they see is an infectious, a great witness of love for one another. It would be so appealing that they would yearn for that. Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we pray you would increase our love for you. May you receive all the praise, the glory, and the honor for everything that you deserve. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Will you stand and join us in one last song? We'll put a song in your heart. And it's my prayer that the song will open your hands and move your feet. I love to sing. I could sing of his love forever.
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart, let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands. I will always sing when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever. 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 And when I feel like dancing, it's foolishness I know. When the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. I can sing of your love forever. 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 I can sing of your love forever.
Go in love and peace to serve our Lord.